why we exist, to connect the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world. So let me talk about our values. And values are simply things that we say yes to. There are things we say no to, but these are our core convictions. We will not sacrifice these. We will not sacrifice these. All of our ministries, all of our initiatives, everything will be run through the funnel of first, the mission. Does it help us grow closer to connecting the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world? Then, the second step in the funnel, does it align with our values? Who we are. In the not-too-distant future, when you walk in that front door, you see that wall with all the different wood pieces and some pictures? That is going to be completely transformed. And at the very top of that wall is going to be our mission that we just talked about. And then Tim, who has done an amazing job, and I can't wait for you guys to see it, he has created all of our values to be put on that wall. And Tad is going to be helping him with the production of that, and it is going to be awesome. But it's going to be a constant reminder of why we exist. Who are we? And what are the things that as a ministry, we say yes to? And our first value, and I'm going to read through several scriptures. The references will be up on the screen here. But our first value is God's Word. And I will say this, these six values that I list are not necessarily in order of priority except this one. This is of the utmost importance. We value God's Word. You know, if you come to the crossing, you're going to get a steady diet of the Word of God. Okay? To use a very rarely used word, you're going to experience the exegesis of the Scriptures. You guys know what that means? What does exegesis mean? It's not anti-Jesus, just so you know, okay? It's the study of the Scriptures. In fact, in our context, it's verse by verse by verse. And I don't know about you, but I love that. But I will tell you this much, and we talked about it this morning, and Carl and I even talked about it earlier this week. Unfortunately, that's not what the majority of our society is looking for. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and disparage any church, ever. But I will say this, and I've been in this area for 17 years, and I've been in ministry in this area for 17 years, and I will say this. There is a common denominator of what most people in this area are looking for, and it's not what you find here at the Crossing. Most people in this area are looking for surface. Okay? The people that come here and they stick here, man, these are people that are like, I want more meat on the bones. I want to be able to chew on something. I want to be able to really dive into the Scriptures. And that's what you get here. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says this, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." This is something that should be working in you, the Word of God. This is not something that just the Crossing Church, the Big C Crossing, the Big C Church, this is what we believe. No, if you say, I am a part of the Crossing, this is my church home, you have a responsibility to take the Word of God and hide it in your heart. You have a responsibility to take the Word of God and understand the Word of God and ask questions. And when we offer soon, very soon, opportunities to grow through discipleship, man, dive in, be hungry, learn with expectation. The second verse up there is Hebrews 4:12, and it just says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We hear it all the time. And we've said it. We've all probably said it. Man alive, I wish I could be a better dad. Man, I wish I could be a better husband, or a better wife, or a better mom, or a better brother, a better sister, a better employee, a better coworker, a better follower of Jesus. Can I just tell you? I'm probably going to offend somebody, and that's okay. It's kdallspa at gmail. I'm just kidding. We don't need another self-help book. We don't need another author piggybacking on his author friends on Twitter, making $1 million because they all say they like their book and they've never read it in their life. We have a manual. We have a guidebook. We have that which should direct every aspect of our lives, and it's called the Word of God, the Bible. Now, again, I'm not against development. I'm not against growth. But my goodness, we should start there. And we should end there. That should always be what we go to. So at the crossing, we exist to connect the whole person to the whole gospel to the whole world. And we value God's Word. Our next value is very simple, generosity. And can I just tell you guys, I work in what some would call the church finance business. I help churches raise money. That's what I do for a living. I travel around the country and sometimes the world, and I help churches raise funds to provide dollars for projects like buildings, debt, expansion, new staff, mission, capital campaigns. That's what I do. And I've done that now for almost 14 years. I see a lot of churches. I run a lot of analytics. I look at a lot of data. And I have an inside look at what goes on here because of my role at the crossing as it relates to stewardship and generosity. And can I just tell you guys? You're at the top. And you've heard me say that before, and please understand, it's not just so you feel good. Because if I didn't believe it, I mean, ask my wife, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it. I'd probably tell you you're terrible. And then I'd get the emails and it'd be terrible. But generosity, Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So it's not just generosity with our finances. It's not just generosity with our resources. It's generosity with our time. It's generosity with our talent. And most importantly, it's generosity with that which we have been entrusted with, the most important message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we hear these words, and we're going to hit on a couple more of them, and we conjure this thing in our mind that society has just rushed in through media and social media, and generosity, dollar sign. No. No. The people that go to Good News at Noon and serve. I hear tremendous stories of what goes on there. And yeah, they bring food, but they're being generous with their time. They're being generous with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, to some people who are struggling, we value at the crossing generosity. Third, this is kind of twofold, we value missions and serving. So we value God's Word, we value generosity, and we value missions and serving. In Matthew 28:19-20, we've all heard it. This is our great commission. And it says this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is taking the gospel out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip, whether in the country or outside of the country? Raise your hand. I'm telling you, you're going to have opportunities. Kathy is working with the organizations we support to give opportunities for mission trips. I would encourage you wholeheartedly to go on a mission trip. Because it not only impacts you internally, but boy, does it change your worldview. And I think that's important for everybody to see a worldview beyond ourselves. And that happens through mission. That happens through serving. That happens through getting our hands and our feet dirty in the trenches. I mean, we hear these stories from Dr. Khalil, and we hear these stories from Dr. Carter and from Carl and Ryan and people that go, man, go experience that. And you may say, you know what? I can't do that because I can't afford it. Don't let resources stand in the way. Do you think, I mean, listen, if God provides enough for me to have a pipe repaired in my basement this weekend when all I was expecting was to pay money for a Valentine's dinner, God can provide for you on a mission trip. Okay? My son Peyton, who's not here this morning, God bless him, but he's going on a mission trip this May to Costa Rica. He is so fired up about it. But do you know what's been one of the most incredible impacts on him so far? Because he hasn't gone on a mission trip. He came to me and he said, "Hey, Dad, I got to raise $2,400 for this thing." I said, "Awesome. Let's go raise $2,400. And it's not coming out of my bank account. Some of it will. But the people, in fact, the people in this room, some of you, that have invested in my son, to be able to have the opportunity to reshape his worldview. And listen, my son is awesome. Just going to tell you. I love my son. But man, this is going to make him a better, more effective follower of Jesus. But just to see the provision already coming in. And he comes to me yesterday and he says, "Hey, Dad, I need to finish my taxes," because, you know, he doesn't, whatever he pays in, he gets back and all that kind of stuff. So he's fired up. He gets like $150 back and it's awesome. Last year he got six, okay? $6. And he was fired up about that too. But he's like, "I'm taking every bit of that and I'm putting it towards my mission trip." It's awesome. That's awesome. We value missions and serving at the Crossing. Number four, we value diversity. That's another one of those words. When we hear diversity, we automatically think the color of our skin. Right? Automatically. Is that diversity? Red and yellow, black and white? Yes, that is diversity. But let me read this verse to you. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It says, "After these things I looked," John looked, "and behold, a great multitude which no one could number," listen to this, "of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And then 1 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 7 says, "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Was anybody in here, did anybody in here feel awkward when the student started running around the room? Just raise your hand. It's okay. Yeah. Some of you felt awkward. But you know what? Were they worshiping any more deeply and effectively than the person who stands there with their hands folded? No. But that was diversity within our worship. Not all of us are going to dance like David danced. In fact, I hope you don't. Get in God's Word and understand why I said that. Okay, there's a reason. But we value diversity. We value, there are people here from Catholic backgrounds. There are people here from Pentecostal backgrounds. There are people here from Orthodox backgrounds. There are people here that don't have a church background. There are people here from Southern Baptist backgrounds, from non-denominational backgrounds, from United Methodist backgrounds, from Churches of Christ and Christian Union backgrounds. Woo! Yeah, that's huge. From Nazarene backgrounds. But guess what? Because we value diversity, we welcome all of you. Now, we're not going to, because we have somebody in the United Methodist Church or from the United Methodist Church, we're not going to go pick something from the United Methodist Church so you feel comfortable. Again, this is who we are. And we're going to get into our beliefs here in just a minute. We don't deviate from these things, but we value diversity at so many different levels. And can I just, I'm going to just tell you this. And I am speaking on behalf of our pastor because we've had this conversation, and I'm speaking on behalf of me. We will major on the majors. And we will minor on the minors. We will not ever allow the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be questioned. We will never ever allow the fact that there is a literal heaven and a literal hell to be questioned. We will never ever sacrifice our belief on the virgin birth. Ever. We believe in baptism. We believe in the Lord's Supper, the sacraments of the church. There are major things that we believe are truth, and we will not deviate from those things. But can I tell you, there are so many mysteries in Scripture. I may have an opinion here because I interpret the Scripture in this way, and someone else may have an opinion here, and they interpret the Scripture this way. Who's right? Well, you probably think you are. And I probably think I am. And it's great to have convictions. It's great to be able to get into God's Word and interpret the Scriptures the way we feel they should be interpreted and how they're interpreted by people that we have followed in our past. But can I just tell you, there are some things that the enemy allows us to discuss and to debate and to get fired up about that honestly don't matter this side of heaven. But make no mistake, those majors, we will major on. And the minors, we will not major on the minors. Number five. So four, we value diversity. Number five, we value relationships. Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3 says this, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We value relationships. I think that's something that at the Crossing we are really good at. But we're not really great at it. We're not really great at it. Like, let's just be honest. Okay, we're just having a family talk this morning. We have our little groups of people we like to be around. And we have our little groups of people we don't necessarily want to be around. Come on. And I'm not saying just in the Crossing. I'm just saying in life in general. But you know, we have some pretty awesome people here that have really never been reached out to. That maybe you've never reached across the aisle, so to speak, and said, "Hey, you know, you guys want to go to lunch? Hey, you guys want to go to this show down at the Fox? Hey, I'm going to the park on Tuesday to walk at 8:30 in the morning. Y'all want to meet us there?" And just develop relationships. Because I believe strongly that churches grow in community. Just read Acts chapter 2, specifically verses 42 through 47. They broke bread together daily. And then later in that verse it says, "And God added to their number daily those that were being saved." They were doing life together. They were sharing the gospel together. They were doing ministry together. And God blessed that. But what was the core of that? What was the root of that? It was relationship. It was community. Don't back away from opportunities that God opens the door for developing relationship. And you may be going, "God, that was not who I was thinking." That's okay. And if you come to my house, you will immediately develop a relationship with Willow. So congratulations, because we value relationships with our pets at our house. We have no choice. Because she really values relationships. Sometimes over the top. Most of the time over the top. Yeah, good. So we value relationships. So these five here, we value God's Word, generosity, missions and serving, diversity, relationships, and the last one, but certainly not the least, is we value discipleship. Growth. Constant growing to be more Christ-like. Mark 8:34 says this, "When he had called the people to himself," he being Jesus, "had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Does that mean you would literally like have a cross that we got to be carrying around? You're going, "Where's my cross? I must not be a Christian." No, it's a daily dying to ourselves. It's a dying to our own agendas. It's a dying to our own thoughts and beliefs that we feel should be prioritized. Instead, waking up every day and saying, "God, today is yours. I want to follow you completely. I want to be sensitive to you completely. Lead me completely," whether that means awkward moments, whether that means triumphant moments, whether that means difficulties. I go back to what happened to me on Friday. I did not expect that I would be standing down in my basement with a geyser coming out of my wall in shorts, no shirt, and flip-flops. Get fired up. That is a picture you will never be able to get out of your mind. Tim, it hates me right now. I'm not valuing relationships, right? But listen, there's a reason why I went through that, why we went through that. I don't know what it is. Right now I think it's because God wants me broke. And then we come back to really what is our core as a church. And there's no greater verse in my mind that really challenges us towards discipleship than Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. The Great Commission. I'll read it again. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we value discipleship. So that's our mission. We exist to connect the whole gospel to the whole person to the whole world. And then we have these six values that are going to just pop at in your face when you come here every Sunday in the not-too-distant future. God's Word, generosity, missions and serving, diversity, relationships, and discipleship. We will not deviate from those things. That's our funnel. Okay? I want to put a graphic up here. It's a triangle, a pyramid, whatever you want to call it. We went through a process a couple years ago through an organization called Plan Your Steps, and it was just a vision and mission refinement as elders. And we came up with these three areas that we're going to be focused on as a church. And these really do align not only with our mission, but our values. But, you see discipleship there at the bottom as our foundation. And I'm just going to be honest with you, we've done a poor job at best with that. We've not done a good job with that. And Tim is helping Pastor Carl put together a course that will help us grow in that area in leaps and bounds. But we want discipleship to be at our foundation. And then you see there intentional community involvement. Kathy and Carl Pierberg are leading our missions and community outreach ministry and are doing a phenomenal job. But we want to be involved in our community in such a way that they believe we just want to be involved with no strings attached. We value relationships, right? We value generosity of our time and our talents and our resources. And then our Sunday experience. Do you know we get 52 opportunities every year to do this? 52. That's it. We should make this the best experience of people's weeks. And I will tell you, Krista, you and your team do an amazing job. In the midst of no teachers and some teachers and rooms that are too small and rooms that are too big and sick kids and weather and all that kind of stuff, you and your team do an amazing job. There are several families, and I've heard from a couple of them specifically, that have said, if it wasn't for the children's ministry, we may not be here. Matt and Brittany, you guys do an awesome job, an amazing job. You know, the students are in here every other week. They worship and they listen to the message every other week, and then every other week they're right over here on the other side of this wall in the youth room. And then on Wednesday nights they meet together and they hang out and they have fun and they learn and they worship together. And I know there are kids that have called the Crossing Church home, and there are kids that have never called the Crossing Church home that have come in here, and their lives are not the same today because of the ministry that you pour into them. We value you. You guys do an awesome job, an amazing job. Michael, let me tell you something. Quiet confidence is that man. What I love most about Michael as it relates to worship ministry is he will absolutely not deviate from the truth. The songs that he chooses are not songs he chooses just because the keys fit together. Just because the transitions are solid. No, the songs he chooses are the songs he chooses because they're theologically sound. They move us in a direction to become more like Jesus. And I can tell you, every week I come in here, I look forward to worshiping because of the value you place in excellence in everything you do with that ministry. Thank you. And we couldn't do this without you. I mean, we could, but we don't want to. No, I'm serious. The way you lead, the way you shepherd, you know, Carl has a full-time job, and that's not the pastor of the Crossing. But he still finds the time, and many of us have experienced this, to serve us. So I go back to Friday night. It's just what's on my mind. Because I'm facing it even when I go home today. My basement is terrible right now. It's awesome. So the first person I called was the plumber. The second person I called was Michael. Because I don't have a shop vac. And I figured he might. And he did. And he came over. It's awesome. So we didn't get to come to the Valentine's dinner. But my kids did. Sierra and Peyton, they actually were a date. It was really cute. They got a Polaroid picture. It was awesome. It was awesome. But Carl asked Sierra, hey, where are your parents? Kind of like, slackers. And she told him. And he goes, do I need to go over there right now? What do I need to do? Can I help? Is there anything I can do to help them? Or what can I do? Immediately. That's what it went to. So we have 52 opportunities a year to do this. This should be awesome. And it is. But we have 366 this year opportunities to do this. Let's do this. Let's do life together. Let's do this. Let's grow together. Let's be discipled together and grow in that grace of the gospel. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to talk fast. I'm going to go through these quickly. Our beliefs. What do we believe at the crossing? So we have our mission. We have our vision. Who we are. What do we value? And then if what we're going to implement does not align with our beliefs, let me tell you, unequivocally, we will not do it. And I'm not just saying all of our beliefs, even one. Okay? The first belief is this, and some of them are longer than others, so stick with me. Number one, it says, we believe in the one true God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit revealed to us through the Word of God and through the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see where we value the Word of God? Mark chapter 12, verses 31 and 32 says this, and the second greatest commandment like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And in verse 32 it says, so the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, talking to Jesus, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. There is one God, one. There is not a multiplicity of gods. This is not Shintoism or Taoism. There is one God, and He is a perfect God. He is an omniscient God. He is an omnipresent God. There is one true God, our Father, and He is a living God. And you know what He desires? He desires relationship with all of us. Do you know that? He's a jealous God. He's not jealous because you're talented. He gave you those. Do you ever spend your time doing other stuff? Do you ever go day after day after day? Maybe not spending time with God? You shouldn't. You know, He desires time with us. He desires relationship with us. So we believe in the one true God as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, revealed to us through the Word of God and through the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord. Number two, belief. We believe that the Old and New Testament Scriptures were given to us completely by God's inspiration and contain all truth necessary for faith and Christian living. All truth. It's our guidebook. It's our manual. We don't need to go buy another book. It's why Lifeway went out of business, because people are realizing all we need is the Bible. That was a joke. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pretty clear there that the Bible's pretty much the beginning and the end of what should be guiding us and leading us. Let me move on. Number three, we believe that mankind is born with a fallen nature and is therefore inclined to evil. My gosh, we see that too often. We see that too often, but it shouldn't surprise us because Scripture's clear. For all have sinned in Romans 3:23 and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean we live in sin. We are born of a sin nature. When we accept Jesus, behold, all old things pass away and all things become new. But we live in an evil world. We live in a world where the enemy prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may make uncomfortable. No. Seeking who he may destroy. That's pretty emphatic. That's pretty literal. He is out to destroy you. That's why God's Word, hiding that in your heart, putting on the armor of God, that's not just cliche, folks. Those are our instructions. And listen, I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to you. This is not an indictment on you. It's as much on me as it is on all of us. The great thing is we all can grow. Number four, we believe that those who finally reject God are hopelessly and eternally lost. Like I said, there is a literal heaven and a literal hell. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6 says this, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame." In 1994, I sent an email. I was in Lakeland, Florida. I was living there. And I sent an email to a pastor at our church back home. And I said, and again, I'm not going to major on this, but it was a question that I was struggling with when I was 19 years old. And I said, how can I know that my salvation is secure? And his response to me was very simple. And he's a man I respect deeply. And he didn't get into this great theological diatribe of an answer. But he asked me a question. He says, "Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" And the answer was yes. March 31st, 1986, my dad led me to the Lord. Then he said this, "Jesus died once and for all sins. You can't put him on the cross again." He died once and for all sins. Can you reject God? Yeah, you can reject God. Is there forgiveness? There is, but it's one of the great mysteries of Scripture. But for those who eternally reject God, it says this, "Since they crucify again themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame, they have fallen away." So we believe that those who finally reject God, finally reject God, are hopelessly and eternally lost. Number five, we believe that salvation through Jesus Christ is for the whole human race, and that whosoever repents and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiven and regenerated and saved from the dominion of sin. Excuse me. Most familiar verse in all of Scripture. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Pretty well stands alone. Number six, we believe that believers are to be set apart to live a holy life and serve God following their conversion through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1-2. This is out of the New King James. Some of you might have memorized it in a different translation. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We're to be set apart. Number seven, we believe that the Holy Spirit gives assurance that we have been saved and set apart to live a holy life and serve God. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We have been set apart. We are to be His witnesses, to take the gospel, the entire gospel, to the entire person, to the entire world. And then lastly, number 8, we believe that Jesus will return to earth. The dead will be raised and the final judgment will take place. Now, I'm not going to get into pre, post, and mid-tribulation doctrine or theology, okay? But here's what it says in Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32. It says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Jesus will return to earth, the dead will be raised, and the final judgment will take place. Make no mistake, all of us, every single one of us, will stand in judgment before God. I believe, with all of my heart, that one question that we will be judged against is this: what did you do with my son? And I don't know about you, but I probably haven't done as good a job stewarding the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ as I should. Not probably, I definitely haven't. But I never want to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What I want to hear, and I want all of us to hear, is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. Because I know, and we all should know, that we will stand in judgment before a one, true, and holy God. So that's our mission. Those are our values we hold near and dear. Those are our beliefs. If what we're going to do or if what we're going to be challenged on don't align with those, gonzo. We won't even consider it. And you know what? Can I just submit to you? You may see something that we're doing that's not aligning with these. We would love to hear from you. We are an open book. We want you to communicate to us. We don't see everything. We're not perfect. We have blind spots just like you do. We may be missing something. Man, come and talk to us. When I say us, me, Carl, any of our elders, and if you don't know who our elders are, John Brewer, raise your hand. John is an elder. Carl Pierberg, raise your hand. Carl is an elder. Patrick Webb, raise your hand. And then Michelle Khalil. We didn't get anybody that came to us and said, "Michelle is not godly and shouldn't be an elder." I know that shocks you. He's been out of town, and so we haven't been able to formally install him, but we'll do that in the coming weeks when he's back in town. And then Carl and myself, we would love to talk with you. We'd love to, listen, I'll spend all their money. We'll take you out to a meal. We'll take you out to coffee. I'm serious. Now, we may not agree all the time. That's okay. But we'd love to hear from you. So I want to just briefly, very, very quickly, and then I'm going to be done. The teachers are about to crucify me. What does our leadership at the Crossing look like? What's our governing structure at the Crossing? I know you guys are like, "Whew, I've been waiting for this. This is the part of today that I couldn't wait to hear." It's really twofold. It's not, listen, when we seceded essentially from the Church of the Nazarene, we went from a manual literally that thick to about 6 pages. Let me tell you something. Boy, was it freeing. Because we just boiled it down to what matters. So we have elders. We no longer have a board of directors. We have elders. And elders, if you read in the book of Titus, and there are other chapters that hold qualifications for elders, but one of the things is that they are given to hospitality. Another is that they are a husband of but one wife. Another is that they are shepherds, that they are overseers. They're not deacons. They're not the day-to-day operations, the trustees of the church. These are the leaders. These are the ones, essentially, that are our guardrails as a ministry. They're the ones that hold us accountable to the mission, the values, and the beliefs that I just went through. And they are connected to our different ministries. So if you're wondering, Michelle Khalil is connected with Krista in children's ministry. Carl Pierberg is connected to Matt in student ministry. Patrick Webb is connected to Kathy in missions and outreach. And John Brewer is connected to Michael in worship. So we have that connection to our elders because we have elders and then we have a staff. And our staff, again, is Carl as lead pastor, me as executive pastor, Krista as our director of children's ministry, Matt as our youth pastor, Michael as our worship pastor, and Tammy as our office manager. And then there's one other person who does this. I want you to understand this. She does this volunteer. Kathy Pierberg is our director of missions and outreach. And let me tell you something. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. What you have done has revolutionized that segment of our ministry in such a way that Carl and I have never experienced what you've done here at The Crossing, the way you've done it. So thank you. Well done. And hey, you know we have a guy who cleans this building every week? He's a part of our staff too. Ron. Where's Ron? Ron stepped out. He knew. Yeah. He knew I was going to say something and he left. That's awesome. Bailey, I'm going to skip the next slide and go all the way down to what we do. We do four things at The Crossing. We do four things. We're not a mile wide and an inch deep. We do four things. We do our Sunday morning service. We do it 52 times every year. We do small groups. We value relationships, community. Get in a small group. If you're not sure what the small groups are, come talk to us. Talk to Carl. Talk to me. We'd love to get you plugged in. But we do Sunday service. We do small groups. We do missions and outreach. Local, national, and global. And then we do family ministry. Family ministry. From birth to death. We do family ministry. And we do a great job, quite frankly, from our birth through 12th grade. We need to do a much better job post-12th grade. And that's why we're coming to you this morning, letting you know, hey, we're going to do a much better job being very intentional in our discipleship. So there's four things that we do. Four. Can I just submit to you this morning? If you're not serving, you might not know where you fit. You might not know how to plug in. Come back next week. Because Carl, on week two of Growth Track, which there's 2 weeks, Carl's going to talk about where you fit, how you fit, how you align with the different ministries at The Crossing, through strengths, through spiritual gifts. Because we don't want to just tell you all this information and say, now go get plugged in, and not give you the resources by which to get plugged in. We want to equip you as well. But I'll finish with this. And you've heard me say it so many times before, but I'm going to say it again. If you are a Christian, if you've said yes to Jesus and you've accepted into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not called to sit on the sideline. You are not called to simply receive. You're called to serve. Tammy and I visited a church up on Highway 211 years and years ago, and I said to her, when we go to this church, I'm going to sit on the back row, and we're not going to do a thing. Because I've given so much of my life to ministry, I am tired, and I deserve a rest. That's right. About 3.5 weeks in, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And it's not because I'm such some great person. It's because God has wired us to serve. Why are we wired to serve? Remember I said earlier that the word Christian literally means to be Christ-like? We are no more like Christ than when we are serving because He was the greatest of all servants. He was the greatest of all servants. So I'll just finish with this. Serve. Get involved. Find out your shape, your makeup, who you are, who God has created you to be. Take the strengths assessment, which Carl will talk about next week. Take the spiritual gifts assessment. Understand more clearly and more deeply, where do I fit at the crossing? And can I just encourage you with one thing? If things get frustrating, or if you get mad and you think Carl said something, and maybe he did, that made you mad, come talk to us. Like, seriously, we're just regular people like you. You have, hopefully y'all have our cell phone numbers and our emails. But let's really be the body of Christ that God has called us and created us to be at the crossing. Yes? Awesome. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thank you for birthing in us. This is not from us. This is from you through us. Why we exist. Why we exist as followers of Christ, and why the crossing exists. And God, I pray you give us the strength. You give us the fortitude to say yes when we need to say yes, but more importantly, to say no when we need to say no. When it doesn't align with our mission, with our values, with what we believe, God, give us the courage to say no. Because we want to be very intentional in becoming all you have called us as a ministry to be. God, I pray as we continue to go through this process that you would reveal to us, maybe even in new and fresh ways, more about who we are, more about who you have created us as individuals to be, so that we can more effectively be a collective body that capably takes your gospel message to this community, to this region, to this nation, and to this world, because that is really what you've called all of us to do. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all of these people in here. So blessed to be able to serve alongside all of them. Let me never take it for granted. God, we love you, and we're grateful for your love for each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Awesome. Love you guys. See you next week. Actually, I won't. I'll see you in 2 weeks.